genuine people needing the Lord Jesus Christ in Michigan, and we need to be busy. We need to be busy serving the Lord. Just before I get into the message, and you can go turning to Psalm chapter 78, I'd like to thank the pastor for allowing us to come at this time. Middle of winter, middle of COVID, with all things that go on, allowing us to be here, and what a privilege it is. We love the Middleton family. Of course, they are originally from that's where we met them, is our sending churches in Madison, Wisconsin. That's where they were at, and so we've known them for several years, and they've also been a blessing to us. Of course, when they were over at Broadhead as well, and we were there, God has been great to us, giving us great families and great friends like the Middletons. And thank you again, Pastor, for this opportunity. And thank you, church, for allowing us to be here as well. Psalm chapter 78. I'd like to go through this, and I'm going to go through this relatively fast. But I'd like to just share a few things out of this text, Psalm chapter 78. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 to start. But something that we need to learn is to pass things on. So the title of the message today is Pass It On. Psalm chapter 71, verses 1 through 3 will be our reading text, and then we'll continue on from there. Let's read. The Word of God says, Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 3. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being here this morning, Lord. I pray that you may be with each one here who is hearing my voice, that you may give me the right words to say, that may be an encouragement to each one. Lord, not just those who are here, but anyone who may be watching online, that you may encourage their hearts as well as to the faithfulness of doing your work. I pray, Lord, your blessings in Christ's precious name. Amen. As we look at this text, I'd just like to share a few things about what's going on here. Number one is, who is the human author that God used to write this? And that was Asaph. And that kind of gives us a time period. So this is Asaph. Asaph was basically the song leader, music director of the time of David, King David, who was the man after God's own heart. So this is a time when Israel's kind of in a spiritual good position. So in other words, don't look at this as a message like God saying something to people who are down and bad spiritually. This is something for people who are good spiritually. Amen? So if you're good spiritually and anywhere from there on down, this message is for you. So includes everybody, I guess. As we look at this text, he starts out by saying, give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And the first verse basically just saying, guys, pay attention. I have something to say. And so many times it's like we need to call people to attention so that they listen to what you have to say. I remember seeing this happen as parents with kids. Kid comes up and starts saying something, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And they, daddy, you know, look at me. You know, pay attention. Well, this is a servant of God who wrote several of the Psalms saying, guys, pay attention. I've got something to say. And he goes on in verse 2, he says, I will open my mouth in a parable or in a teaching. He says, I will utter dark sayings of old. Now, I'll be honest. When I got to this point in this text, this word kind of caught me, you know, like, I will utter dark sayings of old. I said, like, that's kind of, whoa, what is that? And as I studied into it, of course, that basically means deep, profound. In other words, what I'm teaching you is nothing light. It's something that has depth, that is important. And it says that it's of old. I like that as well, because it seems that today people are always looking for a new gospel rather than the good old gospel. And he says, this is something of old. It's an old teaching. It's an old thing that I'm going to teach you. And it's not necessarily going to teach you, because he goes on to say in verse 3, he says, which we have heard. In other words, we have heard. You know, you've heard this. It's nothing new. And he goes on to say, we have heard and known. Not only have we heard this, but we have known this. In other words, these things are facts, things we know for sure. We've heard it. We've known it. And he even tells where they heard it from. He says, and our fathers have told us. So we have this teaching. We have this information, these things, whatever it is he's going to be talking about here. He says, this is nothing new. It's something old, but it's something deep, profound, something important, something we need to be reminded. Though we have heard it from our parents, we have known this. Now we have to do our part. That's where we get into verse 4. He starts out by saying, we will not hide them, the teachings, from their children. Let me ask you a quick question here. Who's he talking about? Who is this people that we are supposed to share this with? He says, we will not hide them or hide these teachings from their children. He's referring to the fathers that taught it to us. So if we are to share these things with the children of our fathers, who are we supposed to share these things with? Think about it. Tick, 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 tick. Who are our father's children? Exactly. So in other words, he's saying, we're not going to hide this from our generation. The children of our fathers. We're not going to hide this from the ones that we are with now, our generation. We're not going to hide these things. In other words, we're going to share these things with our generation. Let me remind you, we should share the teachings of God with our generation. I know some of you may look at me and go like, well, Brother Doolittle, you're not necessarily from my generation. That's okay. I'll share them with your generation. And I'll share them with my generation. And our kids can share them with their generation. But we should share it with the generation of our fathers. With those who are here. The now. We need to share these things. And he says, as he goes on, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. We need to show to the following generation, we need to show them the praises of the Lord. What does it mean to praise the Lord? Well, that's when you jump up and holler and just, ooh, praise God, right? Yeah, that's when you stand up and everybody starts doing this and, oh, we're just praise and worship, right? Now, praise and worship are two excellent words in the Bible to study if you take time to study them. Basically, you find out worship means sacrifice. It means giving of yourself. First time it shows up is when Abraham told his servants that we're going up to the mountain. You guys stay here. We're going up the mountain to worship the Lord. He was going up to offer his son as a sacrifice. That's considered worship. First time it shows up in the New Testament is when we have the kings, wise men, however it's translated, or understood, that go to see King Herod, and they get there and they say, oh, king, you know, where is he that is born the king of Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we've come to worship. Can you imagine them standing there in front of the Lord doing this? Microphones in their hands. They went there and they gave sacrificially gifts. They sacrificed weeks, if not months, traveling, studying about him to get to where Jesus was. And they fell on their faces before him. Worship is something serious. It's the dying of self, the giving of self to the Lord. But praise is another word. Praise means to uplift, to make big, to make known. And he says we need to make known the bigness, the greatness, the wonderfulness of God. Do we do that? Good question, right? I don't know about you guys in this state, if you guys are into sports at all. You guys not into sports in this state? No sports. Okay. Well, good. Because some states, they're really big into sports. Like 2 weeks ago, we were in Florida during the time of Super Bowl, or whenever it was. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And it's like, you could see that people were into the games. And all of a sudden, this name that I had never heard of before, what's his name? Tom Brady. Like, man, everybody's talking about Tom Brady and what a good quarterback he is and all this sort of stuff. And I'm going like, yeah, I saw the end of the games. We're at the people's house after service. And I saw the end of the game and I'm going like, yeah, he's a good player. But have you ever noticed how it's so easy for us to uplift a football player or a basketball player, or I don't know, up here you guys probably have hockey, right? I mean, you're far enough north. You know, these people, oh, you see so-and-so, did you see this person? Did you see this team? Do you know how good my team is, or how big the fish are in the lake? I don't know. We talk and uplift so many things, and what's the best car for riding on snow? Just we uplift things and people, but we should be uplifting God. It doesn't matter who wins the Super Bowl. What matters is how wonderful God is. It doesn't matter how good of a fisherman you are, or how big a fish you caught. It should be how great God is in your life. So we need to praise God. We need to teach people the praises of God, the uplifting of God, the magnifying of God, and not the things of this world. Amen. All right. And he goes on, not just the praises of the Lord, he goes on to say, and his strength. God is strong. He is mighty. God is powerful. He's big. And we need to make that known. Now, there's a couple things that I think are interesting about God being big and strong. Two things. One is strong. I had a brother who was strong, the one that died in an airplane accident. I mentioned in my testimony this morning, in the message this morning. But he was really strong. He wasn't big, but just strong, just natural brute strength. To the point of where I've seen him get a bag of cement. He was 18 years old. We were taking cement bags off of a truck, carry them to the back of the church and the church we were working on. And it's a 50 kilo bag, 110 pounds. And we'd like throw it on our shoulder and go around and, you know, 30 yards to the back of the church and throw it down. He pulled it off the truck on his shoulder with his hand underneath it. And then he did this, 110 pounds, and walked the 30 yards around to the back of the church and dropped it in. He was strong. One thing I liked is I was one of those guys who I used to get in trouble a little bit. You know, I'd mess with people to see if they'd come beat me up or whatever. But just kid, you know, how kids are. But I used to love it when Philip was with me because no one messed with me when Philip was with me. You know, people would look and go like, I'll get you later when your brother's not around. But he was just strong. You know, we have a great, strong God. A lot stronger than my brother Philip. And he is with me. We need to be reminded how great a God, how powerful a God is with us. We don't need to fear this world. We don't need to fear COVID. We don't need to fear the change in government. We don't need to fear these things. We have God. We just need to trust in him and live for him. Another thing interesting about him being so great, mighty, powerful, is that when I am near something that is magnificent, that's huge, that's powerful, it makes me feel small. I remember as a kid, we were in this country here in the United States. On a trip out to California, we stopped by this little crevice in the ground called the Grand Canyon. I remember as a kid, I was just a little kid, I remember we were on the edge there kind of looking over that. And it made me feel so small. It created fear. I wasn't scared that I was going to fall. I was just fear of how small and significant I was to such a grandeur. You know, when we understand how big and how great and how mighty God is, it should create in us fear of the Lord. So many people forget who God is, and therefore they don't fear the Lord. And the Bible says it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of all wisdom and knowledge. It's fear of the Lord that caused Joseph, as I mentioned before, Joseph to flee Potiphar's wife and say, how could I sin against God? It's fear of the Lord. So his strength should bring us fear, and yet at the same time, we should be strengthened. We should be encouraged to the fact that God is with us. He goes on, a third thing he says, not just the praises of the Lord, not just his strength, but the wonderful works that he hath done. Do you know that God has done great things? I gave testimony of that this morning in Sunday school class. You guys have testimony of stuff that God has done great things here in your midst. God does great things. We need to be reminded of the great things God does. We need to share how God has protected us, how God has taken care of us. Twice in this country, just not long ago, a tire comes flying over the interstate in our direction. It was scary. It hit a truck. It had hit the side of the truck, it would have bounced right into us, but it hit the front of the truck and bounced back away. But that was scary, but God protected us. Just last week, going down the snowy roads, this truck, a snow plow up ahead of us, going slow. So I slowly started working my way over, and then the semi decided to work its way over as well. And so I got slid through, literally slid, as I hit the brakes and it started skidding. I had to release the brakes between a snow plow and a semi. And I just know that God is there. He protects us. He does great things. He's alive. He works in our lives. We need to remember this. We need to trust. We need to share the great things God does because it'll encourage one another what God has been doing. As he goes on here about these three things, he says, you know, we need to do these things. And he goes on to verse 5, says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. He said, listen, God established this, that Israel, that our fathers should make it known to their children. And I'm sure here he's referring basically to the Ten Commandments and the laws that were passed to the people. He's saying these things were to be made known to their children. And it's true. If you look at the people of Israel, you look at what was taught way back, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the repeating of the Ten Commandments. And in chapter 6, he says, hey, you should love the Lord your God with all you have, and you should make these things known to your children. Teach them diligently to your children. And he goes on to explain that, listen, you should not just teach them diligently to your children, you should remind them, you should talk about them. And he gives four occasions. I'm going to change the order just because it makes more sense to me. But when you get up in the morning, you should be talking about the things of God. When you are sitting at the table, you should be talking about the things of God. When you're out and about the way, you should be talking about the things of God. When you're going to go to bed at night, you should be talking about the things of God. Do we talk about the things of God? Do we share and remind our kids and remind the people around us of who God is, what God has been doing and whatnot, and how we should obey him? He goes on to verse 6 to say that they were taught to do this, that the generation to come might know them. I should be worried that my next generation knows the things of the Lord. You should be concerned that your next generation knows the things of the Lord. He goes on even to say, even the children which should be born. My sons are both single, but I'm hoping that one of these days God blesses them with a wife. Not a wife, a wife each, right? Okay, make sure we get this straight. And that God blesses them with kids. Now, God only gave us two. Who knows, he'll give them a bunch so we can have at least a bunch of grandkids. But I should be concerned that my children's children, which aren't even born yet, I should be concerned that they also know the things of the Lord. That means I should be concerned of who my children get married to, because they need to find godly wives so that they can raise their children, knowing the things of the Lord. Even the children which should be born. He goes on to say that those children who should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That's a fourth generation there. That means that I should be concerned not just with telling my generation, but telling the next generation, so that the children of the next generation will rise up and teach it to their children. I should be concerned that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren are being taught the things of the Lord. Isn't that something? We need to pass it on. Being saved and living for Christ does not stop with us. It goes on. You know what's happened to this country? The great United States of America, the missions country, the one that sent out more missionaries than all others, someone forgot to pass it on. And then the children haven't learned from their parents, and they haven't learned, their grandchildren haven't learned from their parents, and they've lost. And the United States is becoming one of the largest mission fields in today's date because people forgot to pass it on. Now, the devil knows this very well. He understands Scripture. He knows the importance of getting the next generation. So he got into the schools and started teaching the next generation a whole bunch of bad stuff so that they would forget and not be taught the good stuff. We need to pass it on. He says, as he finishes up there, in verse 7, he says, that they might set their hope in God. We need to teach people to set their hope in God. The only way they can do that is if they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. He goes on to say, and forget not the works of God. Never forget what God has done for you. And he goes on to finish, and he says, but keep his commandments. We need to be taught to live for God the way God wants us to live for him and do what he wants us to do for him. And we need to pass this on from generation to generation. Let's pass it on. There's a verse in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, if I'm not mistaken, that is an interesting verse because it talks about train up a child. You've probably heard this verse before. Train up a child in the way he should go. And it goes on to talk about how when he grows up, he will not depart from that. I don't want to look at that last part of that verse right now. I want you to look at the first part of the verse. Does it say that you are supposed to train up your children only in the way of the Lord? It says to train up a child. Or the child, I think it says. In other words, we need to care not just about our own children, but we need to care about the other children in our neighborhood. We need to care about other children that are growing up now, sometimes with parents who don't care. We need to be careful to train them up in the way they should go. That's one of the reasons we started the Gardens of the Faith in Brazil, the ministry to try to work with the young kids to train them up because their parents are a mess. Their parents don't care what they do. Their parents just as soon have them sometimes be drunkard bums than anything else. But God has given the church, us Christians, the duty to worry about the next generations. Let's pass it on. Let's bring children to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's work on their parents who are our peers, who are our generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. You know that if we get busy passing it on, we'll be filling this church up slowly but surely with people who are learning and being taught to pass it on to others. The love of God, the praises of God, the strength of God. We need to teach them the word of God. Let's pass it on. Let's get busy passing it on. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we finish up this morning, God, nothing is more important than your word being passed on to others, because it's by the hearing and hearing of your word that people will learn to trust in you and have faith in your word and give their lives over to you. I pray, Lord, that we may be busy as Christians. Lord, that each one here in this place may be busy doing their part, passing on your word, so that others may know and trust in you. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And I pray, Lord, that this message may be an encouragement, not just to those who are here, but those who are watching, Lord, that we may all be busy passing it on. I pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.